Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, reading verse 44 through 46. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face, and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, as I preach it, let it minister to the people. Let them hear a sure word from heaven, and let them come to serve the Lord with gladness. Help them to trust in you. Help them to look to you and depend upon you and to forsake all other sources of help. And I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Before we get into the message, I'd like to give you an update about Haiti. You know that I've been going there since 1993, and that I work with various pastors. One of the pastors that I want to tell you about today, I actually met on the plane as I was flying down 2 Decembers ago, my last trip. I'm talking about Pastor Mona Avril. Her and her husband, they have a church somewhere in New England. I don't know if it's New Jersey or Boston or something. I don't know. And they've lived there most of their life. But a few years ago, God moved upon their hearts to begin ministering again in Haiti. They love their country. And they've started 3 or 4 churches that I know of. Maybe they have more than that. I don't know. But in and around Port-au-Prince and the area that's near there. Now, I've never met Mona's husband, but I spent some time with her. I preached in one of her churches downtown Port-au-Prince. Actually, I think it's Bel Air. And it's literally 3 or 4 blocks from the big cathedral, which you've seen on the news is completely destroyed. But we had a great service there. And I played a couple of minutes of the recording that I made on this station from the sermon that I gave in her church. I spent half an afternoon, I suppose, in her house. And I also visited a school. I think the name of the town was Quadubuque, which is north of the airport. And I'm told that there's a very big tent city there now. But I got a call from Mona a few days ago. And she told me that she was in Haiti, and I had heard that she was okay from her sister or niece or something that had emailed me. But I got a call from her, and she was very happy to be able to talk to me. And I was ecstatic to hear her voice and to listen to what she had to say. She said that things were very bad in Port-au-Prince, and obviously we know that. But we're seeing this on CNN. She's there. She lived through the earthquake. And she's the first person that I actually had a conversation with that was there. I had gotten word from some of the other pastors indirectly, but she's the first one that I talked to that made it through that earthquake. But one of the first things that she said was that God was with us, she said. God was there. And I'm very thankful to hear that testimony. Now, she told me that all of the churches that she and her husband built are destroyed. Again, the one that I preached in was something like 2 or 3 blocks from the cathedral downtown. But she said her house was okay. And another thing that she said made me very glad indeed. She said of all the churches and all the members of the churches, she hadn't heard of anyone that died. I'm sure that there are injuries, but no deaths occurred in her congregation, and I'm very thankful to the Lord for that. But let's take a look at our message today. King Nebuchadnezzar, as we studied in chapter 2, had a dream. He didn't understand what it meant, and he asked for an interpretation. And Daniel and his friends went to the Lord, and God showed them the dream and gave them the interpretation. And as it turns out, it's a prophecy of the end times. And it talks about the kingdom of the world, and at the end of the world, Jesus comes back. The stone from heaven, cut out of the mountain without hands, will destroy all the kingdoms of the world, and God's kingdom will stand forever. But then it says in verse 46, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. We worship God. We offer oblations or sacrifices and sweet odors or incense to God. But Nebuchadnezzar is doing this to Daniel because he understood that God had spoken through Daniel, and maybe elevating Daniel and worshiping him was a little bit out of line. But the point is that Nebuchadnezzar understood that he had heard a word from heaven. And it says in verse 48 that the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him a ruler over the whole province of Babylon. This sounds exactly like what happened to Joseph. Joseph was in prison, but then God uses him, God speaks through him, and God delivers him and makes him the third ruler, I believe it was, in all of Egypt. Daniel is a great prophet, and some of the descriptions that he gives you'll find nowhere else in the Bible. And his topic of prophecy was God's care for his people Israel, which necessarily includes the return of Christ. Joseph also functioned somewhat as a prophet, and he gave counsel to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh exalted him. God chose Abraham out of all the people in the earth to call out from the world. God told Abraham to leave Ur and to go to a country which he said, I'll show you. And we read in Hebrews that he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. This is the message of the Bible, that God cares for his people, and one day will come back to rule his people here on earth. When Jesus comes back, he will destroy the kingdoms of the world. That is true. But Israel's job was to be a light to the Gentile nations. We can read about this prophet and that prophet and the other prophet, that instead of ministering to the people of God, they minister to other countries, to other kings, etc. Look, for instance, at the prophet Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for thy wickedness is come up before me. And we know the story, that Jonah fled, he got in a ship, he ended up in the belly of the great fish, etc. God said, Nineveh is wicked, and because of their wickedness, I will destroy them. Prophet, go tell them I said that. Go tell them they're about to be destroyed. And eventually, he gets there. And he said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He has the same message that all prophets do. He has the same message that Christian pastors and missionaries and evangelists and Sunday school teachers have. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. In other words, the end is coming. The end is coming. It's all fine now. Everything looks fine. You have a nice job. You have a nice house, you have a nice wife, you have a nice dog, etc. You can enjoy that, and that's fine. But one day, the end is coming. One day, the end is coming, and Jesus will return, and you'll have to answer to Him. And if you're an evil person, if you're wicked, if you're not living for God, the Bible says that at the judgment you'll be cast into hell. After 40 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed. But the book of Jonah says that the people believed God. They heard the warning and they believed God. They heard the message that destruction was coming and they believed God. And they began to repent of their fornication or their theft or bribery or whatever sin that they happened to have. They confessed their sin. They forsook their sin. They put on sackcloth and ashes and began to fast and call out to God. And the Bible says that God saw their repentance, saw their change of heart, and He changed His mind and did not destroy the city of Nineveh. One day, Jesus is coming back. And you need to be ready. You need to look to God and worship Him and obey the Word of God and live for Him. Live humble before Him. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly before God. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. But the people believed God, and God changed His mind, and God had mercy and saved them. The Bible says that destruction is coming. If you look at the nation of Haiti, their day of visitation was a couple of weeks ago. Everything that they had, government, hospitals, churches, universities, you name it. In Port-au-Prince, they've pretty much all been destroyed. The government, such as it was, is in shambles. The president, Préval, on TV it looked like he didn't know what to do. And right now, the people that are running Haiti are the United States and France and perhaps a couple of other nations. They're the ones that are in charge right now, because the government of Haiti, the elected representatives and what have you, the entire thing has collapsed. But again, God loves Haiti. And it's very unfortunate that this earthquake happened. But you look at the response of the people there. They're pulling people out of buildings that have been buried for a week and a half. And as they're pulling them out of the hole, they're found to be singing and praising God and thanking Him for His deliverance. As Pastor Mona Avriel said, God was there. God was with us. And truly, Jesus said that if we trust in Him, He'll never leave us nor forsake us, but He'll be with us even unto the end of the age.
The world can make
Old Paths Tabernacle is an evangelistic outreach of the Joey Kelly Broadcast. If you like good singing and good preaching and are looking for Sunday night services to attend, please consider yourself invited. If you're coming from New Orleans East Bank, take the GNO or the Crescent City Connection to the West Bank Expressway and get off at Manhattan. Go through the Harvey Tunnel and turn right at the red light, which is MacArthur. Go two blocks and turn right at the fire station onto 8th Street. Go three blocks and turn right. Old Paths Tabernacle is right on the corner, meeting in Waymaker Ministry Sanctuary, 804 First Avenue in Harvey. If you're coming from the Huey or Boutee, get on the elevated expressway, then get off at MacArthur and turn left at the light. Remember, our services start at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and I hope to see you there. Lord, take me back. Lord, take me back to the old land. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today, and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.